Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a story of America's bloodiest prison, told by the people who lived it, both inside and outside its gates. The brutal history, as you've never heard it before, from its origin as a slave plantation to its gradual growth as the bloodiest maximum security prison in America. To those outside its gates, it's known as Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. But to those who have spent time inside its gates, it's known as Bloody Angola.
Come with us as we take you through the gates and give you a first-hand look at not only the stories of the stabbings, rapes, executions, escapes, and murders you won't find on any TV show or the internet, but also the murders, abductions, attacks, and hostage situations of the staff and their families, otherwise known by the convicts as free people.
Bloody Angola is a comprehensive, no-hold-barred podcast. It takes you on a journey through time, from its inception as a slave plantation to America's largest maximum security prison, where 80% of its population will die inside the wire.
Get mentally prepared. Sit back and listen as we cover these stories in detail.
In ways you've never heard before, from people that lived it, breathed it, and died with it. Bloody Angola. Warning, Bloody Angola is a podcast covering actual events and is intended for mature audiences.
The subject matter discussed in no way reflects the personal opinions of the host or sponsors of this podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making. The
story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton. And y'all, Chase team members, that's our affectionate term for our Patreon members. We thank you so much for your support. We're hoping you're enjoying your commercial-free, unedited, early release episodes. And stay tuned at the end of today's show. We're going to give you your shout-outs. Also, coming up this week, we'll have your first ever bonus episode of Bloody
Angola.
And today we have a special guest, right, Jim?
We do. To my right, Miss Kelly Jennings, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. And just to give you all a little bit of a history, we've known Kelly for quite a while.
Yep.
She's a pillar of the community here in Livingston Lord. Parish.
Pray for us.
She's a teacher in Livingston Parish and has a pretty good history with law enforcement, especially as it pertains to Angola. You were... What would you classify yourself as?
So when I was younger and I worked there, I was a classification officer. Oh. So formally, I guess you'd say ARDC specialist, but I was classification in the prison.
Fantastic.
And real quick, so I think you know this, Joan. I got to meet Kelly. I actually went and was fortunate enough and honored enough to go and be a guest speaker at one of her classes where she was teaching criminal justice. And her students were fire. I wish I'd had a teacher like her back in the day. And she also was instrumental in me doing my first ever live show. And she put the idea in my head for Real Life, Real Crime. So
there you go. So all you Crew Bash fans out there for Real Life, Real Crime.
This lady's responsible for it.
That's who put it together.
That's true.
Well, hey, when you see something that's awesome, don't you want to put it in a bottle and be like, ooh, this, we need more people to see this.
You did it. You blew it up. And
thank you for doing it. I appreciate it. I don't even know if I ever said thank you.
I want to thank you for being here today. It means a lot
no
to
problem.
Me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you.
We promised you when we're bringing you Bloody Angola, we're going to tell you everything, and each week would be different, right? And we're doing that, and Jim and I discussed it in depth. We believe that we need a professional besides myself that can come in and actually paint a picture of everything that's inside the gates in Angola, how it's laid out, and basically how it works. And y'all, this is raw and unscripted, but Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong, you even used to give tour guides in Angola.
Oh yeah, they it's kind of funny. I wasn't expecting it, but I got an email one day. I was in the middle of working in the prison, and they're like, hey, we need someone to come do a tour real quick. And you know, I was like, okay, well, great. I hope y'all find someone. And they were like, no, ma'am, we'll see you at the front in about 15.
For the listeners today, when you take them inside, you're going to paint a picture for us, just like you're giving us a virtual tour of Angola.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
And so I don't think people understand. They just think a prison, it's all one prison, and they have no idea.
Yeah. So, you know, when a lot of listeners, I'm assuming, watch like Investigation Discovery or watch all these shows where you get to see inside the prison. Right. But what they're really seeing a lot of times is sometimes jails. Right. And jail and prison are not the same thing. I teach my students that, right? We've got a big difference between the two. But when you go to an all-male maximum security penitentiary like Angola, you're looking at like 28,000 acres that right. this is spread out over. So, you know, think about a college campus. You know, locally we have LSU. I mean, think of a open, widespread college campus. It's all got to work together, but it's a big layout.
It's a whole monster of its own.
Yeah, you're driving. You're literally getting in your car to drive from point A to point B during the day. Most people go to work and they're in a building.
Right.
You know, before we kind of go into what is Angola from just a vast standpoint of how it works inside of it. I want to give the listeners and viewers out there kind of your history on how you started at Angola. Now, one thing that intrigues me personally is that she's female and you started at a very young age.
I am, Jim.
You are. She is a female.
That's how
indeed.
She identifies as
female. She smells like a female.
I took a bath. What can I say?
So you started at Angola at a very young age. You were 23?
I was 23. And, you know, I didn't just show up one day and be like, yo, let me in the door, you know.
Right.
It actually all started in college. And I went to LSU. Go Tigers.
Go
right?
Tigers.
And I really... You know, when I started college, I didn't know what I was doing, as most people that go. It was really my mama. Shout out to my mama. Hey, girl. My mom was really like, Kelly, what are you going to do with your life? And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, all you do is sit in your room and watch true crime, get a degree with it or you know, involve in it. And I was like, can I do that? And I was so stupid. So, yeah. So fast forward. I think I'm a senior in college, and I'm sitting in a truancy class, and the instructor, I remember her first name was Siobhan, a lovely lady, but she said, hey, I've got a friend coming. She's a warden, which really made me kind of perk up. Wow. I was like, really? A woman warden? You know? But she's going to come and talk to y'all next class. So fast forward to the next class. In walks this teeny tiny little 5'2", cutest little button of a woman walks in, and I'm like, look at this little popcorn fart, you know, walking in. And she's a warden. And her name was Kathy Fontenot. And that's, you know, Kathy, that started it all. And I was so impressed by her knowledge and her ability to communicate to us the importance of, you know, prisons and what we do there. And so I raised my hand because ever the one to talk, I had questions, but my questions didn't really pertain to truancy. They pertained to, I want to know what you do. And what about this? And what about the rodeo that they hold? And she said, I tell you what, I'd really like to talk to with you after class. Right. So I was like, oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah. So I listened, but after class, I went up to her and started asking these questions. And she's like, I see a fire, you know, in your eyes. Why don't you come out there and I'll give you a personal tour?
Wow.
Now, before you went, before, you know, before you obviously worked there and did that tour, did you have an idea of what Angola was?
Honestly, no.
Gotcha.
I did not. I mean, I didn't know anything. I knew it was a big prison. And I knew when I told my mama, hey, I'm going up to Angola. She said, the hell you are. And I was like, oh, stand by. Like, what? Why? And then she really was like, baby, that's prison.
You know? And that's one of the reasons your knowledge is so important, because just like you didn't understand, but you know, a base, generalized opinion, I would say,
yeah.
Right? That's what I think most of our listeners have, unless they've worked inside a system, so invaluable you being here.
This and I'm glad to share because I want people to know. You know, I'm a teacher, right. And I think that's why the program I teach was so successful. They gave me a one-year pilot and said sink or swim, and I'm going on, I think, year 14 or 15.
Oh, it's a fire program. I can attest to that.
It's so sick, y'all. I'm so proud. The kids are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
I teach great kids. But, yeah, so my concept of prison was just that, hey, we lock people up. That was my concept, and I knew dangerous people get locked up.
Yeah, but I had no idea of the history.
Oh, absolutely not. And the history is amazing. So, you know, when you first, and I may get a few numbers wrong, okay, right. But I'm within reason. This was what, how many years ago?
So anything you say today that you get wrong, I do it all the time.
Okay.
It's not you're intentionally getting wrong.
Right.
Let's get that out there clear. So if y'all are working there now or something and something's changed or whatever,
I'm going back on a 15-year memory.
Right, that's right. That's not even important. What's important is your memory.
And so I remember, y'all, at the time I drove a little 2-seater BMW. I thought I was something. Like, here, I'm going to prison. I'm going to drive up here. So I know, you know, you're driving to St. Francisville, and then you take a left on Angola Road, and it's like 23 miles or something, 27 miles, I don't know. You're driving a long way, and it's kind of interesting because the longer you drive and the more the woods kind of start filling in, you're like, dang, I'm going back in
by
the
then, you were driving the new highway. When I used to drive it, it was really curvy up through the Tunica Hills. It took like 45 minutes when you turn off Highway 61 to get to the gate.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, I was advanced when I got there. I got that gravel. I didn't have a gravel road. You know, I remember bebopping along, and I pull up, y'all, and it's the first time experience is something you don't forget because you're in the middle of the woods, and then the woods open up, and I can see it now, and boom, there's this huge gate that goes up like an archway type almost, and there's a booth in the middle that you can't get through with arms, and then welcome to Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola, and it's on a brick sign, and it's usually got really nice flowers, believe it or not.
It's really well kept.
It's well kept. You know, shout out NMH. You're doing a great job on that horticulture.
That's
that's
probably a class.
Yeah. I mean, or it's a job.
Right.
You know,
so it's definitely a job.
You better get it right. Yeah. You know?
So the Department of Corrections, when they sentence you however many years at hard labor, guess what? They mean you're going to work. If you don't work, you're going to lay down in the cell block.
Absolutely.
And you're in the hole.
Yeah.
Religion and church is an option. Work is not.
Yeah. And maybe we should make that be society's plan too, right? Let's all go
to
work.
Nice, right?
You know? Some of them, I know this, if you watch, and I'll tell the listeners, if you've never seen this before, you can find it and stream it online. But Angola, the farm. Mm-hmm. If you really want to see this and breathe it and understand what we're telling you, y'all should go watch the farm because that's what Angola is called. That's right. The term there is the farm, you know, and you'll see. There's this one inmate, and I actually worked, I was his classification officer for a while, but he's working the fields, which is an entry-level job for inmates. And the interviewer says, you know, have you ever, you know, picked crops before as a job? And he said, man, I never had a job in my life. Y'all, he was 29, 30 years old.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of lends itself to the demographic of lack of education and lack of work ethic, I guess.
Yeah, I guarantee he got it when he got to Daniel.
He learned it.
Right. You know. He learned it. Learned behavior.
Yeah. But you pull up to those gates and then you're kind of a little apprehensive, you know. Before you even get in the gates though, right outside of the gates to the right, there's actually a museum that has really cool history in there, a lot of things, and we might could go through that another, you know, later on. I don't want to start now with it, but a lot of cool things that are actually started at Angola that are known almost worldwide today. But you can go in there and you can tour that museum and get, you know, their books and CDs, and they also have an inmate worker in there, which is kind of interesting. I want to point this out. It's outside of the gates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a trustee.
Right.
So every day, his job, he goes outside of the gates of the prison.
Yeah. So they can't get trustee status, I think, until at least after 10 years.
Yep.
10 years.
Yep.
And that guy who's in that museum, I bet you he's been down a lot.
He's been down probably 25 years, you know, because
they know he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And you're not going to get very far if you do, because right. Remember, I just drove all that mileage through those woods.
Tunica Hills.
Yeah. You're not getting anywhere. So I pulled up to the gate the very first time. They asked my name. And, you know, there's usually two guards in the little, we say they're not guards.
Correct.
They're correctional officers. Right. There's a difference between a guard, you know, and a correctional officer. So they're officers. But
so before you go any further, what's the difference?
I think professionalism is something that really is taken for granted. And you, when you think, I don't want to put anybody down, that we need security in different facets of life, but prison is not a security guard. A security guard sits sits out front of a club and is a bouncer and protect, you know, and gets the idiots out of there.
These private security firms and guard banks.
Yeah, and they need that. And I'm not downing anybody who does that job. But when you go behind the gates of a prison setting, you are a correctional officer. You are not waiting for the bad guy to come through the door. You're going through the door to the bad guy.
Right. It's a profession.
That's a great way to put that.
Yeah, it's a profession. And that's something that I think, and I don't want to get off on society, but, you know, if we want our prison systems to run well, we need to make sure that we have applicants that are qualified and that can do the job.
And how do you attract somebody to work at Angola that far out and to get inside that world or whatever? I mean, the pay and
$12 an hour, $11
exactly.
An hour.
So they're way off the mark on that.
Right. Obviously. And so, you know, that's something that, you know, is a whole different discussion. Right. But, you know, when you go in there, you know, I don't want to make it seem like you're getting beat up every day or anything, but it's a different animal.
You have the potential.
You have the potential
die.
For harm.
Right.
And I like to think of it like orange juice. Okay. Hear me out. You know, when you go buy orange juice and you're drinking it, or you can go to the freezer section and you get the concentrate. Mm-hmm. All right. Angola is the concentrate. You don't have your petty thieves. You don't have your kids who flashed out and acted out and they're in there for a little while. You've got murder, rape, armed robbery, or habitual offender.
The most serious. And generally, you don't get sentenced unless you get like 80 years or more in life sentences and stuff like that.
Right. And I know today they have, and we'll talk about the different camps, but they have a Camp C. And last that I was updated, they do have some shorter term guys that they're trying to do reentry back out into, you know, the free world, as we call it. But for sure, when I was there, that wasn't happening.
Right.
You were there a while. You weren't going home.
You're not there for going to church on Sunday.
No. You popped a cap. Yeah, somebody,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Somebody died.
Blood was probably shed.
Yeah.
So anyway, you come through that gate after they do their security check at the front. You do some license checks. Background checks have already been done on people before you're even allowed back. As far as like NCIC or running to see if you have a criminal record, they're not going to let anyone through those gates. We need to know where you're going, why you're going, who are you visiting, and, you know, you're not a victim, potential victim right. that is coming to see somebody and cause trouble. There's a lot right. more to it
right.
than just visiting. But you come through that gate, and immediately to your right, I want you to think of a really large building. I think it was 2-story at the time. Lots of it looks like an office building, though. It doesn't look like prison. It looks like you're just going up to an administrative building, and in there is going to be your warden one, your top warden. At the time, it was Burl Kane. And a lot of administrative, very important people who are making that system flow, who are making it. They may not be in the camps, so to speak, but they are making that system run. Right. Kind of like a beehive, you know,
you've got the vital part
I would imagine it's very important in that type of setting, in a prison setting, that everybody not only know their role, have their role, but it functions in a way that everybody is responsible for something.
Yeah.
And so when you go through that gates and, you know, you as a 23-year-old, at some point it had to hit you that, oh, my gosh, I'm behind the wire.
Yeah. Right? I can actually tell you the exact moment it hit me, if you want. Yeah,
love it. Share it.
Viewer discretion is advised. So Warden Fontenot, she did come get me and drove me around and kind of showed me. The moment it hit me, though, that this wasn't a joke, we went back to, it was called Camp F at the time. And she's like, we're going to just walk in and we're going to go, I'll show you some inmates and show you kind of how they live. And I said, we're just going to walk in. And I don't know what I thought. What are you going to do? Put me in a vest or something? Yeah. But she's like, well, yeah, we're just going to walk in.
So, you got no firearms and nothing.
Yeah, like, well, where am I security? Yeah. Like, she's it, my little friend here. But we walked through and it stunned me. It literally stunned me that it's not cell blocks. They're not locked up. It is a little city of inmates going about.
Explain that.
Yeah. And so I don't want, like, you know, my size to be part of it. I'm an average female. I mean, I'm 5'4" at the time. Don't judge me now. But at the time I was rocking maybe 120 pounds and there's men, but these are men. You know what I'm saying? Some of these guys are 6'6", look like they're in the NFL. Probably could have been in the NFL.
Yeah, prison muscle.
Yeah, and they walk past you and they're like, morning. And you're like, good morning to you. And I'm not saying anything else about it, you know? Like, I was kind of dumbfounded. But we walk into the camp. So when you first walk into this dorm, if you will, you know, we have cell blocks and then they
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with the dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/bloodyangola. And watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/bloodyangola.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have dorms. Dorms are exactly what you think. It's a big open area. It's metal on metal, very stale environment. When you walk through the door, you're immediately hit by steam. You know what I'm talking about.
It doesn't even smell the same.
I can smell it.
The air doesn't even taste the same.
No. Yeah. You can smell it. I know the smell today. Yeah, right. But you're hit with steam. And I'm like, WTF, you know? And what I realized was that the showers were right there. Right. I just walked in to men showering. What? Excuse me. You know, and
you're not in Kansas anymore.
No, and I almost felt like I was violating them. And I shouldn't have the, I don't want to call it privilege. I didn't want to see what I saw, but sorry. Like, I just walked in. Y'all, it's the most shocking thing. It's the most jarring thing when you walk in and the showers are right there and there's men showering.
And did they cover themselves when you walked in?
No, there's like a little half wall. Yeah. There is a privacy wall, but it still doesn't undo the sting of, wow, you're in a private moment.
And the reason it's open so that the COs on the dorms can see what's going on usually the showers are right behind their desk.
Right there. Someone's watching you. Right. Someone's watching you in some weird, prison terminology, not necessarily in the shower, but you know, if you're in the cut, you know, you're in a spot, right? You're a little cutout where you're not seen. And that's where it gets real dark in those areas.
That's right. That's where the private moments
happen. Yes. Private moments. That struck me. That really struck me as, wow, we're not playing anymore. Like, they're showering.
So dormitories, the listeners, you're paying it for them. You walk in, it's rows of beds with foot lockers on the base of them. And y'all, this is a much cheaper alternative than building an actual cell.
Yeah.
And not everybody needs to be housed in a cell.
True.
Once they're inside the wire, they're dependent, and you used to do this, right?
Yeah.
It's a classification officer. It's not what they did outside. It's how they act inside.
Right.
And you walk in this dormitory, that's a cost-effective way, not only from a cell cost standpoint, but from the standpoint of who has to watch them. And the usually two per dorm COs watching the whole area, that's cost-effective.
Yeah. Manpower is limited.
Oh, always.
Manpower is limited in any facet of society. But, yeah, so they're there. They're sitting at a desk. Think of a teacher's desk. You know, they're just sitting there. They're kind of watching. Anytime there's movement from in or out of the dorm, they're going to be logging that because we have to keep track of everybody.
Right. And usually their desk or somewhat raised up.
Yeah, you got to be able to see.
They said they can overlook at everything, including looking over their shoulder into the shower.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the count. So this is obviously not going to be the same, but when I was there, the last thing I looked, there's 5,183 inmates, and there was 1,200-ish personnel.
Tell me
total.
Tell us about the count. And that counts, hard counts, soft counts. I know it's getting off subject, but listeners don't know.
Never had to do count, so I'm going to be, because my job was not to do count. But count is done periodically every so often, and count is basically, we need to see you. We need to make sure that you are where you're supposed to be, because we're looking again at all these thousands of acres. Once you get going, let's say you did get out of the gates or out of your area. I mean, you got... That's a lot of time and a lot of motion,
right.
And we need to know where you are. And if you did happen to get out of your area, we need to know quickly.
And how often are these counts done?
Was it every 30 minutes? It depends on where you were.
It's every hour? It's soft counts, and I'm sure it's changed by now. But soft counts are done at least every hour. Then the hard counts are where everybody has to freeze and nobody can move until the count clears.
Right.
So when they count, like you're in the dorm, you count – may have 50 inmates going to work or whatever, and you count however many you have there, you have to call it in. Wherever those inmates are at work at, those people that are watching them call it in. And all that count goes to the ready room, the headquarters, whatever you want to call it, and that has to clear.
It must clear. Ray was going to be right back.
Nobody moves if the count doesn't clear.
And
then if it doesn't clear, it's a real...
Real deal, because, and we'll get into jobs later, I'm sure, but, you know, we do have a job call, or that we did have a job called Road Walker, and basically their job was to walk the roads and, you know, pick up trash, whatever they did, but they're not supervised. There's not an officer walking with them everywhere they go. They're actually out walking unsupervised, and so they have to be accounted for, you know, and you have stick outs, as I remember them called, and people are at the hospital, in the prison, we
have
a hospital.
Down the court, whatever it may be.
Yeah, so, yeah, counts got to clear.
Yeah.
So it's an important job,
that's the reason they're there.
Yeah.
The Department of Corrections job is to protect society from these people while they are sent to the Department of Corrections.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not our job to punish them.
Nope.
Not our job to be mean, if you will. It's not your job. You're just quartering them. You're housing them. And we have to make sure that if the state says, hey, you're behind bars and you're not to leave – We got to do it.
You're accountable for it.
You're accountable for it. And so that leads into the fact of, too, you know, being firm but fair was something I was always taught, mm-hmm. even in law enforcement, because I'm a commissioned deputy, too. But, you know, firm but fair. And you need to treat people with respect, and you better know your role, because going back to walking through at 5'4", and at the time 120 pounds, he's 6'6" and 350. He'll knock your block off if he feels like it.
The only thing stopping you from being murdered or raped is the respect.
Yep.
That was obviously established by people who came before you.
Yes.
But and I'm sure as your career went on, you got your own level of respect.
Absolutely.
And that goes not only for the free people, but for the inmates.
Yeah.
Respect all around.
Because they're going to try you.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to play the games. Oh, yeah. They're going to see what they can get away with and what they can't.
Human nature.
Yeah. And it's hard. Y'all, when you're a 23-year-old female, and if you have any, you know, young girls listening to what I'm telling you, it's not that you can't do it, but there's no replacement for experience. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in middle-class America. I went to private school and elementary school. I did go to public high school. When I saw a fight in high school, I was like, whoa, you know, this is different. And when someone, you know, MFs you or wants to get crazy with you, I don't know that I was prepared with what comes next, because a badge does nothing for you.
Right.
It just identifies you.
Badge won't stop you from getting raped or your ass whipped.
No. So. And I will tell you that was a, I worked for a lot of good men out there and women, and, you know, they were wanting to be respectful, and no one wanted to come up to you and be like, hey, hey, little girl, you know, they might want to rape you. But, you know, it's a very real threat. We're not walking around with weapons.
Right.
No one has a weapon behind bars. I mean, all they have to do is jump on you and take it from you, and then we lose. So I'm literally walking around in work clothes.
Yes. And that was something that when Woody and I first started Bloody Angola, one of the biggest questions we got asked from people was they did not realize that there was no freeze plus P.
No.
You don't get any of that. You don't have a nightstick. It's not like the movies, you know, Shawshank Redemption, where he had the nightstick all the time. He's going to thump you. It's basically just you and
that's where your mouthpiece comes in handy, that you need to learn verbal judo is what I would call it. You know, there's the sandwich. You be nice, not so nice, and then nice again. You treat people with respect until it's time that they want to play stupid. But I'm not handling stupid. All I got to do is radio.
Right.
And then the cavalry will come to help me. But y'all, someone can kill you in 3 seconds. They really can. You have to learn in this lifetime how to speak to people.
Or rape you.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them corners you're talking about, the blind spots.
Yeah.
Pull you behind
there. I mean, it's not unheard of. I worked with a lady that was in the kitchen, free lady that was overseeing the kitchen. You know, she had a scar right here. What a G, by the way. I don't remember her name, but what a freaking G. She had gotten her throat cut by an inmate working in the kitchen. Wow. And if I remember correctly, her daughter even came to work for the prison. And I'm like, you got your throat cut and you still working?
And for that inmate, they probably had several licenses anyway, right? How many licenses can you get?
Yeah, you can't get blood from a turnip.
Exactly.
I mean, what? I've got nothing to lose, you know? And so I do remember one time there was one warden called me in his office. I don't quite remember his name. I should. I'm sorry. But he handed me a whistle, and I looked at it. I'm like, I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
Give me a whistle. Do, 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 do. Help me. You know, that doesn't work. And he's like, no, I'm serious. He said, I'd like you to wear this around your neck.
Yeah.
And he just stared at me. You know, it was this awkward stare. And I was like, oh.
They guarantee you that whistle didn't come to fruition by chance.
No.
It happened to somebody else. And they were like, what's the best way they can get
that we
attention?
Could help her?
If they didn't have a radio or a beeper, a pager or whatever.
Let me tell you this, too. This might blow this blew my mind.
Yeah.
All right. So you have to take a test before you're hired. Kind of like a basic English test. Also, like WWJD, what would you do, you know, in these situations to see, do you have common sense? Would you make good decisions? Mm-hmm. And so I passed the test. I did really well. But then you have to sign off on things like they do not negotiate.
That's right.
They will not negotiate for you. If there is a riot, they will not negotiate. You have to initial agree. Okay. All right. But I put Like, it was like, yes, no. And I'm ad-libbing this, but it was basically, are you okay with, are you okay with bodily fluids getting on you? And I wrote, no. So they go to, come down to getting hired, and they're like, look, we can't hire you. And I was like, oh my, you know, why? Well, you marked no to having bodily fluids thrown on me. I'm like, do people mark yes? That's weird. And they were like, you have to put.
Because
you, I'm fine with that. No problem.
That could come in a variety of forms.
Most, Silence of the Lambs.
Biggest one is, is, well, that one too. The biggest one is gassing. Oh, is when you walk down a tier and they save up the piss and the shit to throw on you as
I live
a
that.
Way of bucking up. So there you go.
Yeah, I was at Camp D. Yeah, and I did not get hit with it, thank God. I think I would have met Jesus. I would have died if someone would have thrown a bag of crap on me. But no, I walked in, you have to sign in. I was going to run some go talk to some inmates that were in on tiers. And I want to tell you this, when you think of walking into a camp, I guess we could get to this real quick.
Yeah.
Very stale, very metal on metal environment. Everything was
no
gray.
No airflow.
No air condition. So when people are like, it's hot, okay, well, put on dress clothes and boots and go walk around tiers all day. I'll tell you how. But no, when you walk in, I had to sign in everywhere you go, right? Because they keep track of where you are. What if you went missing?
Right.
Where was
she? That's a real deal.
Yeah. So I walk in, I sign in, and then I turn. It's almost like, think about a star, if you will, a circle in the middle. That's where you got people running the show, you know, your COs center, and control center. And then it's like these the tiers stick out of it, and you go down. I think it's maybe 10, 12 cells, and you go down, and you can talk to your inmates. So I was going to meet one to do some paperwork with, and that door opened, and I went to sign in, and I'll be damned, the smell that hit me, and I'm like, what is that? You know, what is me? Oh my God, did someone die? This is a smell I have not encountered in my lifetime. And the CEO standing there just shook his head. He's like, yeah, they gassed him. It got him good. And this is what had happened. So I walk and I look down the tier. And they have two TVs, old school. We're not talking flat screens or thing. And they're kind of mounted up on the wall so that inmates could watch TV if they wanted to, if they had a good angle, you know. Right. There is crap splattered on the TV, on the floor, on the walls. And I'm like, oh, I don't think I can do this. This is not for me. But I did have to tiptoe down there to do my job and tiptoe back. But two inmates, right, they're next to each other in a cell. They can't see each other because there's a cinder block wall separating them.
So they're face down, and all they can see is the TVs and window wall that are covered up. So most people don't get that. In the movies, they show you cells across from cells. It's not like that.
Absolutely not. And there's a million reasons why that would be terrible.
Right.
But yeah, they're looking at a concrete wall and the TVs, like you said. But they can't see one another. They can pass things, pass kites, which are messages or whatever. But they got pissed off at each other. And so what they do, let's say you get canteen. Let's say you get it and it comes in a plastic bag. What they're going to do is they're going to poop in the bag. And then they're going to pee in the bag. And they're going to twist it up real nice. And they're going to hide it in their cell and let it ferment. Mm-hmm. For days.
And then
what this inmate had done was he took it and he dumped it into a paper bag that he had, let it get kind of soft, and then he stuck his hand out and he slung it. And when it ripped, everybody got sprayed
That's so disgusting.
That's the gift that keeps on giving.
Kelly in a Moth Club.
Oh my God. Thanks, Clark. Yeah.
So, and I know y'all know this, but for the benefit of the listeners out there that may be unaware, feces is a real weapon Angola. And to tell you another thing that they did, listeners out there, they would actually make darts out of feces.
Like a pin?
Yeah.
A dart?
A blow dart, exactly. And what they would do is they would, it would be like a poison dart because it would actually be feces that they would let sit
or
HIV or hepatitis, whatever.
Again,
and the guards would walk by and they would shoot it like a blowgun and shoot it into those guards' legs or whatever, do the same thing with inmates. But the dart would go in. It wouldn't necessarily probably hurt that bad, but now you've got – you've literally poisoned your blood.
Yeah, potential.
You've got a problem.
And then they have to get tested because I had to do this, get tested for AIDS and herpes, whatever, everything for however many months afterwards. Because you don't even know if you're going to get it right then. It could show up.
Yeah, and then
HIPAA.
I mean, it's almost like it's a risk of the job, but then you don't get the benefit of knowing what might have happened to you because of HIPAA,
right,
And there's a high And again, I don't represent anyone when I'm saying this, but, you know, hepatitis is real. It's a communicable disease, and they're in
a big deal in the prison.
Yeah, it's a huge deal in prison. And HIV is real.
I remember then the test for it and leaving a knot on my arm. They test you for the hepatitis.
Yeah. Also, like inmates that work in the kitchen, you know, that was part of our process too, was that you had to be cleared to work in the kitchen because food can also be used as a weapon. Because if you're infected with something and then you go contaminate food and then we feed that to everybody.
Great point.
Another problem. So, yeah. You know, it's a lot more than just feed them, clothe them, give them a bed. Mm-hmm. We are also entrusted with their care. And whether you like them or not, whether you want them, you know, whether you think they deserve it or not, the Constitution provides protections for all of us, even if after the fact it's a protection. And you have to follow through with that and treat these people, give them medical care.
Right.
You know,
you're responsible for them.
Yeah.
The Department of Corrections.
Absolutely.
The security, feeding them, housing them, medical care, everything.
Mm-hmm. Like if they get sick and get the flu, absolutely. If they get sick and they get the flu, think about COVID, right? We shut down our whole country because we were afraid of a communicable disease. We'll put that in a prison setting where they can't leave. Mm-hmm. They don't have control over who they're laying next to in a separately in a bunk. COVID will take the flu will take over a dorm in a heartbeat. Then your employees get sick, and we're already short staffed.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Yeah,
you know, it's a lot to think about.
Let's go back real quick to the layout of the prison.
Yep.
So you come in,
main prison,
main prison, yep. The administrative building where all your wardens in it, yep. You know, people help, you know, run the show. Right. Then you go in to tell them about main prison.
Yeah, so when you walk in main prison, I want you to think of that as like
tell them how you get to the main prison.
Yep, so you have to go down a long road, and it's actually an old airstrip. Fun story, shout out to my husband's grandfather. He's deceased, but he was a pilot, and he actually flew a plane in and had to land. Right. I don't remember exactly what he was doing, but he did land his plane on that airstrip. Yeah,
they used to, my mom, when she was on the parole board for the state, they used to fly him in it was the most cost-effective way to get around.
Yeah, and why not, right? So, but when you walk, you go way down that road, and then you take your left, and you walk through, like I said, there's a visitation, big cafeteria-style room on the left. To the right, there's some parole board meeting rooms, or there was. And then they have actually a radio station at Angola, mm-hmm. and that's actually held right there. It's pretty neat. It's really cool.
So Angola has the radio station, and they're, I think, the only prison in the United States that has our own TV station.
Yeah, absolutely. So inmates that are in cells, if we have a big, like, or they have a big worship at the prison, at the church, or if they have a guest speaker come in to talk to the people, they do put that out there for the inmates that might be locked up. Again, hope, giving something to look forward to, and that's put out there. But other than that, to get any further into the belly of the beast, there's a rule in prison. One door must shut before another may open. It's a security thing, right? So it's a cage, right? And so you have to give your clearance, show who you are, that you're supposed to be there. The big metal gate will swing open. It's big, y'all, heavy, sturdy, solid. And then you go into the cage, boom. You hear it shut behind you. And I remember the first time it happened, and I thought, God.
Yeah, man.
I love what you said, the belly of the beast.
Oh, man, that's where I started that. It's fire. But anyway, thank God I was able to get back out. But anyway, once that big cage door slammed shut, then she would unlock the other door, which would open, and then you step inside, and then that door would shut. So at this point, I want you to envision you're just walking through a door, but when you walk through that door, all of a sudden, you are in Chain Link City. The wall, everything's a cage. Everywhere you go is a cage. So I'm walking down this long walk.
The main walk, right.
The main walk, going straight down. It's chain. It's thick concrete. It's raised. If you look out to the sides, again, chain link fencing, but it's grass. And there are inmates out into the yard, but it's a long walk. And so.
Yeah. And y'all, that's why we refer to it as behind the wire. Mm-hmm. Angola is not
a gated cinder community.
Blocks all the way around. Like on episode one, the walls that we did, that was cinder block all the way around, 12 feet tall. Angola is wire all the way around.
And one of the reasons, main reasons for the wire or the chain link on the main walk is so the guards and the towers can you know, somebody can try to see in at all times, right?
Yeah.
But it helps contain them too.
Yeah.
I mean, they certainly, if they had pliers and had the time and they could cut a hole through or whatever, then where are you going to go?
Yeah.
To the concertina wire on the outside?
Get chased by the wolf dogs.
So, inside the main prison, yeah. You're talking about where the main walk is, on the outside of it, there is concertina wire. There are.
Oh, yeah.
There are gun towers.
Multiple. Right. So there's the outside gate, and then there's an inner part, and then an inside gate. And so... I mean, you're not just going to have to get through one gate, two gate, three right, gate. I mean, you're getting through multiple gates
right.
And then barbed wire.
The concertina wire, which is razor wire, the more you get involved in, the more it cuts you up. And it's not just one row. It's rows and rows and rows of it. And then generally a gate, another fence behind that, more concertina wire, and then you got your guard gun tower.
Yeah, and then to add add a little more suspense to that, I know when they did budget cuts a while back, then they were like, well, we'll just put dogs between the fences.
That was after my time, man. Jim showed me that. I was like, holy shit, yeah. I can't believe that.
I'm like, dude.
And they train these dogs to attack.
I know. Yeah. You better be a gangster ready to meet your maker because you're going to get tore up from the floor.
You know they hate this one. No.
Yeah, and let me tell you, these ain't regular dogs, folks. Mm-hmm. These are a breed that they breed with wolves.
Yeah,
so they call them wolf dogs.
Right? It's crazy.
Literally, wolf dogs. So
I don't know if you've ever had a wolf.
If you get past the guard, you're still going to mess with the wolves, right? Yeah. Literally.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, and then generally, if you're getting your ass torn up by the wolves, some guard's going to get notice the ruckus, right?
You'll get the message at some point, And those wolves, when I was there, they had, and I don't mean to get off task here, but I would go visit. They had a dog area. Anyway, I would go visit because why not puppies, right?
Right.
and I would walk up, and they had the big wolf, the 100% wolf, not a mixed breed. And that wolf would come out. And those eyes, all that head would drop in those eyes, and I'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Hold on. Maybe I don't want a piece of you.
We know what you were raised for.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. But anyway, so you're walking down. We're back on that main walk. And now there was a huge church that was built off, I believe, Samaritan's Purse, I actually think is who funded that, if anyone cares. But if I'm wrong, sorry, but I think that's what it was. But there's a huge church there, and that's the big main prison church where they have services and, they have a lot of things that happen in there. Now, if you go a little bit further down and you look to the right, they actually built a smaller church as well, because church is happening in prison. You may not want to participate. You'll find Jesus in prison.
There's a lot of people, a lot of jailhouse preachers, right?
Oh, I got stories. Anyway, so then you keep walking down, and then you're going to come upon actual, these rows that stick out, go straight out, one on either side, and these are our cell blocks. These are our lockdown cell blocks. Right. Now, you're in trouble if you're in a cell block for the most part. You have not acted right. Nobody's just thrown in a cell block like in the movies. Everyone's not slung in a cell block. I mean, you done messed up. Aaron, you know what I'm saying? Before you
and, got in there. And it's either attacking a correctional officer, getting called a contraband, or raping someone, or fighting with weapons, not just regular fist fight.
Yeah, right. I mean, you've done something to get there. So if you needed to see your main prison guys locked up there, you could go up and down A, B, C, D tier, and it's two stories, I believe. Then when you go further down, from my memory.
What camp?
This is the main prison.
This is main prison.
Yeah,
so let's
so that's not Camp Jack.
Huge camp. I mean, a huge main prison. There's an east side and there's a west side. We call the west side the wild side because when you first come into prison, a lot of times if you are not a high risk, so to speak, within your concentrated orange juice that I was talking about, then you're getting put on the wild side. The east side was the calmer side. Your old timers, a lot of guys that had been down a long time, understand the rules of prison, and it was a little calmer on that side.
Right, yeah.
But you walked in to these doors, and you're in an enclosed building, and there's a library to your left, a law library. They had classrooms over there where they would teach because a lot of these guys don't have an education. You can get your GED. You could actually go up and get a college degree through the Baptist Theological Society, is who it was through. If things have changed, I don't know. But so it was like classroom stuff going on there. And then you walked even deeper, and that's when you got another like main walk that went left to right. Right was your west side, and left was your east side. If you went to the right and you started walking down, now you're going to get a bunch of offsets that would come out, and off that offset would then be a bunch of
walkways and buildings.
And I think that it was trees They were named
Spruce, Pine, whatever.
When you go to outer camps, which are not part of main prison, they're, again, getting a bus or a car, drive out to those. Camp D, which is where I did a lot of my work too, those were birds. So you had raven, eagle, all of that. If you went to Camp C, I think it was wolf.
It was animal names.
Animal names, like wolf, whatever. And then Camp J.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
In just a few weeks, DraftKings Sportsbook will be live in Ohio. Right now, all new customers will receive $200 in free bets when you sign up today using code SWING.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966. 21 and over and physically present in Ohio. Eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Subject to regulatory licensing requirements. One per new customer. $200 issued as $825 free bets. No purchase necessary for sweepstakes. Void where prohibited. Ends first day DraftKings is allowed to operate in Ohio. See terms and official rules at DKNG.co/OH.
Was that fish?
I don't remember, but the Camp J, of course, is the notorious Camp J.
So, and I work Camp J too.
Closed now.
It's
closed now.
Yeah, they closed it down. But it was open when I was there.
Yeah.
So let's move to the west real quick. When you go to the west side, that's also where the large chow hall is, or the cafeteria. Right. When you would walk down into that cafeteria, I want you to envision, again, a big stale room, gray walls, and there's not chairs and tables, though. This is prison, right? Anything could be used as a weapon or a riot tool. So you're going to have metal, maybe octagonal or circular tables that are welded to the ground, and then they had seats, again, welded.
That are welded to the table. Right.
Yes. And so part of my job, too, was like I would always go. I tried to be accessible to the inmates because it wasn't my job to judge them. It was my job to do my job. So I would go during chow time and I would sit at a table with all the paperwork and different things we could talk about later. And they could come to me too if they didn't have time to get to me. And I could help them there. And then it's like a serving line at Piccadilly. You got inmates that are serving the food. You got inmates taking their trays, getting their food. You have inmates cleaning the trays when they're done. And then they have to go back out and go wherever they're supposed to be, and they have to be cleared. And every so often, every so far of a distance, there's another wall with a gate. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get a straight shot down anywhere.
Security checkpoints.
Right. So we can get through those gates. If you went to the east side, it's kind of the same concept. Now, once you got to the east side, you would have like warden's offices that were on the different sides. Behind the warden's office, remember, think outdoorsy, okay? There's actually an entire prison enterprise work camp behind there. There was a license plate factory. So you may not know this, but you can brag to everybody. When you go outside and you look at your license plate in the state of Louisiana, that's inmate memorabilia.
Angola made.
They made that for you. Yeah. So there you go. You have a piece of Angola with you if you didn't know that. But
That's a great piece. Yeah. Thanks.
There's a license plate factory where they're in there stamping out those license plates. There was a mattress factory where they're making the mattresses for. This isn't Serta. This is making the mattresress.
I can see that green plastic material and the lump of
thing. To put it into perspective, if you've ever ridden a school bus, think of that pleather on a school bus. Right. It's exactly what it's like. Very thin, and they're making the mattresses for the prisons and the little pillows and whatnot.
And so all the dorms and all the ones that are housed there, they feed them there in the main camp. It's all cost effective also, but they also go to work. They're not being transported out into the fields or whatever. This is all its own functioning unit,
yes,
if you will.
It is. And we want to do that too for minimum movement, making sure we have people. If they do go to work in the fields, picking crop, Maine prison's actually right in the center of all of the crops. And so they do what's called deucing it up, right? I want you to think you've got your officers on horseback. They do have their weapons because this is not church. This right. is prison. They're going to tell them to deuce it up, which means get into pairs of two. Mm-hmm. And you put your tool over your shoulder. And then we walk almost march style out to the fields. They mm-hmm. do their job. Again, when we return, deuce it up, tool up, march back into the gate.
Right, and the correctional officers are armed on the horse. And you got to think about these inmates signing out these farming implements. Mm-hmm. The hell, those are weapons.
I mean, sling blades.
They're hoes and sling blades and stuff like that.
They got their hoes, y'all.
The main camp, I guess we'll get into other camps later on. The main camp, to sum it all up, it's just this monstrosity.
It's huge.
And but there are different camps. That's what other people don't understand.
Yeah, and so then there's different camps. So also real quick, in Maine prison, right outside of it, there's also what it's kind of like a hotel, if you want to call it that. Do not think like a real hotel. It's just a dorm building, but it's separate from the prison, the Maine prison buildings. And that's actually a living quarters for officers that come in and do 12-hour shifts so that they can actually sleep overnight while they're doing their shift work. And
commonly referred to as bachelor quarters.
Bachelor quarters. And so they can also, it kind of helps them out, pack an overnight bag and have to travel back and forth. Yeah. It's a long way, y'all. It's big. All right. So then once you leave Maine prison, again, I want you to envision you're just looking out over fields and fields and fields, right? And it almost looks like a levee. The furthest out you look, it almost looks like a levee circling the prison. And within that levee, every so far out, there'll be an individual camp. And they're letters, Camp A, B, C, D, E, F. A lot of those were shut down because of they're old. And they don't serve the purpose anymore. Laws have changed, too, on how we house people. And so different camps. It's not like in the old time ago, maybe sex offenders would have been separated and put on their own pod or their own
camp.
It wasn't quite like that anymore. I'm not going to say there weren't like areas that they might be kind of close together. I remember like Eagle One at one point right. was sex offenders. But they had to stop kind of doing that because sex offenders are on the totem pole of people that are not liked in prison, believe it or not.
Yeah, they're number
and
one.
And so we didn't want to point them out and make it obvious because then you're a target and you might be inciting violence. But the different camps literally all look like each other. They are duplicates of each other. They're just spread out and they are much, much smaller. Maybe a quarter, maybe even less size of Maine prison.
Of the Maine prison. And those camps, generally, for whatever reason, they serve their own purpose. There's a reason they're located so far away, security reason or whatever it may be. But you're talking 28,000, like the size of Manhattan, right? And so driving between camps and camps and, I mean, the movement and everything.
It has its own zip code.
Right. That's right. It has its own. It used to have its own post office.
It does. Yeah. And so, or did. So like if you wrote a letter to Angola, you don't even have to put, you just put Angola and it's going there. You don't even have to put a zip code. I mean, they know where it's going. But yeah, that was the different camps. The only camp that was an easier camp, if you will, was Camp F when I was there. And y'all, that was your old timers, your old fellas.
I think that's where we did our basic training academy.
Yes.
Was there. We actually lived in a dormitory while we trained there. And the trustees, the old timers, we stayed inside the wire, slept inside their dormitory and ate in their mess hall.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're going to live their life. And that's named after, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank.
I can't remember.
That was murdered.
Brent Miller?
Brent Miller?
No, not Brent Miller. That's the
firing range.
Knapp.
Captain Knapp. Brian Knapp. Killed in the late 90s.
He was. They thought Y2K was coming and they revolted. And that's another story. But anyway, it's named after him and you do all your training way back there. And then behind that, but it's its own entity again, is the new death row they call it. And that's where, if you're from Louisiana, you've heard of Derek Todd Lee. If you're not too young. My students this year did not know who Derek Todd Lee was. I was like, oh.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, gosh.
No, I was like, Derek Todd Lee was there, y'all. And they're like, hey. Oh, man. I'm old, right? But, so Derek, you know, and I think there was like 80-something on death row at that time. Yeah. And they've been there a long time. The one that had been there the longest when I was there had been there since 1983. I was born in 84.
The second longest running is actually from Limson Parish. They killed a little boy in the 80s and left him on the he and his lover killed and raped a little boy and left him on Magnolia Beach.
Yeah.
Church Right. I did an episode on it on Real Life Real Crime.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
It was fire.
Thank you so much for the knowledge of it.
Because,
I'm a photographic guy, right?
Yeah.
Everything you're telling, I get gun bumps. Everything you're telling, I can see it and I can smell it and I can feel it. I want the listeners, Jim, one of the listeners, we try to figure out how can we get it out there. And you did it for us today.
Well, I really appreciate it. I hope I did a good job.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
So everything we talked about today, other than maybe, possibly being raped or whatever, you're giving the painting the picture of bloody Angola, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully that the viewers got that. Now you have many stories, right?
Yeah.
Like some serious shit. And some maybe a little bit lighter, some as worse as you can get.
Yeah.
And you're going
to Yeah, I'll be willing to share any of that. Sure.
Yeah. So in an upcoming episode, y'all, we're going to air that.
I would love to have her on at least once a season. After we do these episodes, at least once a season.
I love it.
A Kelly Jennings episode.
Hey, I'm
chilling with KJ.
That's
chilling
right.
With KJ.
That's
and
right.
Maybe we can take questions and ask me anything or whatever.
Yeah.
Those are always great, right?
Yeah. So I'm down.
But thank you so much. And I loved it. It just brought me back in time, right? When I went to the training academy, Brian wasn't dead yet. He got killed like 8 years after I was there.
Really?
So it was something else.
1999, right? Turning 2000. Yeah.
So,
wow.
Thank you so much. All you did today, you're a pistol, and you did so well. Your teacher, you're natural at that. Episode was fire, but I know, Jim knows, the Kelly Jennings, that's the fire pistol, right?
That's right. That's right. So thank you again.
Yeah, thank y'all.
To all the listeners out there, me and Woody can't thank you enough. For supporting Bloody Angola, just listening and reviewing and doing all the things y'all do every day. It matters, right, Woody?
It matters so much, y'all. And you the Brent Miller series, you got it. We were actually pre-recorded some in a row. It just so happens that the day we dropped the first Brent Miller episode, Albert Woodfox died.
How about that?
And I want to say I'm just be whatever and say it. I want to say I'm remembering Brent Miller, not Albert Woodfox.
Period.
But thank y'all so much. And Chase team members, we're going to give y'all a shout out now to the members that have already signed up real quick. But if you're not a Chase team member, you can't afford to be one. Hey, we love you anyway. Thank you so much. Please subscribe, leave us a review. It's huge. And you know what? 4 weeks, we've been in the top 10 in the world, y'all. All 4 weeks.
Just
because y'all liking, subscribing, and reviewing.
Huge. Can't even wrap our minds around that one. Right. Just a beautiful thing.
Thank you so much.
So for our Chase team members, we want to shout out Miss Robin. She's known as Joy, if you see her on Facebook.
Yeah, I'll call her Robesy, affectionately.
There you go.
She's from Australia. She's fire.
Yeah, she's awesome. So thank you.
Thank you, Robin. And Charlie Gilbert, you rock. Thank you so much for being a Chase team member. I'm gonna actually do the next one because she's a dear friend of mine.
Sure.
Beth Perry Andrews, you know we love you. Thank you so much. You've always supported us, and we appreciate it. And Christine Hernandez, an OG lifer and Dream Team moderator from way back in the day. Thank you, Christine.
Mandy Oliver, you kick ass. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Mandy.
Cheryl Ann Reed, thank you so much for being a Chase team member.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Brittany Maxwell, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Brittany, you rock.
Christopher DeMars, thank you so much for being a Chase team member.
Thank you, Christopher, and we hope you enjoy the upcoming bonus episode. And Shane and Tracy McBride.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, never heard of them. That's just my people, right? My brother and my sister. Thank y'all so much. We love y'all. Thank you for supporting us.
Miss Terry, thank you so much. I don't have your last name because only your first name shows up on Patreon, but love you to death.
Terry,
thank you.
You know who you are, Terry, and we love you. Thank you for being a Chase team member.
Carol Hagan, thank you so much for being a member of the Chase team.
Carol Hagan, we love you. Thank you.
Mallory Matthews. We appreciate you. Love you. Thank you.
Mallory, you rock. Thank you so much. And Jessica Tinsley.
Yes.
And Kirsten Dahl. Both of yes. you. Oh, you know, love you so much. Thank you. We appreciate you.
How about Leah Marie?
Leah Marie.
Shout out. You know we love you, Leah.
We know we love you, and we know who you are. Thank you so much.
Jennifer Jerem Lamley.
Always been there for us. We thank you, and we appreciate you for being a Chase team member. And y'all, all y'all, if you want to become a Chase team member, Jim's going to have the link to Patreon in the notes, or Patreon, however the hell you say it, in the notes, and check it out. We're going to be putting up our first bonus Chase Team episode. It'll be locked up. Huge shout out to Lisa Bork.
Yes. For
absolutely stepping up and blessing us before we even released the first episode.
Yeah, so much love for you, Miss Lisa. I know we talk on Facebook all the time through Messenger, and you are the best. Appreciate you so much.
You are an original Chase Team.
An OC.
Original Bloody Angola.
OCT. You don't want OCT?
You don't like OCT.
You don't want OCT? Yeah, you know me.
Thank you so much, Lisa. We love you. Thank you. And thank y'all, everybody. It's going to conclude this episode of Bloody
Angola,
a prison podcast, 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison. Peace.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.